This is Free Thought Radio on Air America with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky.
End of the year to all you dogma-free atheists and indifferent and free-thinking agnostics and to everyone else listening. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this is the last Free Thought Radio program of 2009.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. This is the weekend of December 26th and 27th, 2009. And Scott, our webmaster, tells me this is our 192nd show. Happy New Year to all of you. Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We're a national organization of atheists and agnostics and other types of non-believers working, especially this month, working hard to keep religion and government separate and to educate the public about what those of us who don't believe, what do we think? Why are we here? What are our views and our beliefs and our non-beliefs?
And we talked a bit last week about the controversy in Asheville, North Carolina, over seating a new city council member because he is an atheist and because North Carolina is one of seven states that actually openly bars atheists from serving in public office. And we promised to look up this gentleman, and we have followed up on that promise, and we're looking forward to interviewing Cecil Bothwell on the second half of Free Thought Radio. He's a very interesting fellow, an investigative reporter, who tells me he's written the only critical biography of Billy Graham, and we'll find out what it's been like for him, discovering that when he ran for public office, he couldn't technically because he's an atheist.
Before we get to that, there's been a lot of news in this last week, and most of the news for us is seasonal news.
And there is no war on Christmas, but around our office, we've kind of been feeling under siege. Every nutcase out of South Carolina has been tying up our phone lines since our staff attorney had a great victory in Charleston, getting the city-owned fire department there to remove a large nativity scene from its lawn that it's been displaying since about 2003 or 4.
And that's Fire Station 12 in Charlotte. We have coverage from Charlotte's local ABC TV affiliate
Charleston?
Charleston, I'm sorry. Charleston, down on the coast, Charleston, South Carolina's local ABC TV affiliate on this particular state church conflict.
Well, it's a story that has a lot of people talking. Firefighters are forced to pull the plug on a Christmas nativity scene, one they've displayed for many years. News Octavia Mitchell has tonight's big story.
Station 12 had to remove a nativity display similar to this one from the lawn after a local man filed a complaint with the Wisconsin-based Freedom From Religion Foundation. The group sent this letter to the fire department Friday. The complaint states the display shows Charleston's endorsement of Christianity, which is prohibited under the Constitution, and asked that it be removed. The firefighters removed the manger scene after the matter was referred to the fire department's legal department. The fire department was not allowed to speak on camera, but released this statement. The Supreme Court has said that the United States Constitution prohibits government from taking any action that appears to promote one religion over another. The creche is the universal symbol of Christianity, and therefore, based on the law, it was removed from the fire station.
I think it's crazy.
Joanne Roberts lives in the area.
This is America. I am a citizen of the United States of America. And if you cannot have a manger scene in a front yard of a fire department, what are we going to do?
Fire officials did tell me they've had complaints before, and the nativity scene was not actually on fire station property, but on the land next to it. However, they could not provide verification of that immediately to the Freedom From Religion Foundation. The fire department has received dozens of complaints about removing the nativity. I'm Octavia Mitchell, News 2.
Well, you know, here it is. Why don't these people put the manger scene on their private lawn in their churches and their private clubs? Often the churches don't even have nativity scenes, and yet they want to put it up in front of the fire department. And we have literally spent 2 days of answering nuisance calls, apparently mostly from firefighters in Charleston who have nothing better to do with their time. I mean, I guess it's good there's nothing
well, a lot of
more
them,
important for
there's
them
There's also
to do.
Been some talk show hosts that are telling their listeners to call us and wish us Merry Christmas.
And which is a rather a lame thing to do. And then after those calls died down, we started getting nasty calls from Fox TV fans. And Dan, you were on a segment on Monday morning. What was that all about?
Oh, there was this CDC survey that showed that people living in southern states report greater happiness than those that don't. And some reporter said, oh, well, the southern states are more religious. So I guess being more religious makes you a happier person, which was really tenuous. And we did a show about that, and they compared it with the heiress, American.
But actually, and before we go to that clip, Florida, which is one of the sunnier states, has a very high non-theist population.
Yeah, so it's there's no correlation, and it's very unscientific. And even if there were a correlation, there'd be no causation there.
So here we have a short excerpt of that was a 10-minute debate, and you were on with a priest. Let's listen to that.
Fox News contributor Father Jonathan Morris and the co-president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, Dan Barker. Thank you both for joining us. This is not completely scientific. The CDC study found Louisiana has the highest number of the happiest people. New York has the least, and it also happens that New York has twice as many people who report having no religion as Louisiana. But Florida, in third place, also has the same number of people reporting no religion. So it's not scientific, but nonetheless, Dan Barker, what's your reaction to this?
Well, happy winter solstice, Patty Ann. Today is the real reason for the season. All happy this time of year, family, fun, fellowship. I think the study, which had nothing to do with religion, what it shows is that people like living in the South. You could probably do a study of children who believe in the tooth fairy who are happier than those who don't. There's no correlation at all between your religious faith. In fact, many previous studies show us that there's no difference, or even there's even worse outcome for those who do believe. Believers actually have a higher divorce rate than non-believers. Believers take just as many drugs for depression. So yeah, some people will report that their religion makes them happier, but really it's the human values that give us happiness and purpose in our lives.
Father Jonathan, these latest correlations might be sketchy, but what's your reaction to this?
Well, my first reaction to Mr. Barker's statements was, bah, humbug.
So I wished him a happy solstice, and he says, bah, humbug.
And then you did get a kind of score, a little coup there. What did you say to him?
Oh, she asked me later, would I respond to Father Morris's comments? And I said, well, I can't call him father because he's nobody's father.
Presumably. He's not supposed to be anyway. And you can watch that entire interview if you like. If you go to FFRF's website and go to the news link, it takes you to media coverage. And there's a lot of coverage there, but you can scroll to the Fox coverage from December 21st.
We haven't previously reported, but we need to report that 6 Freedom From Religion Foundation billboards were censored by the outdoor company we were leasing from in Las Vegas. Of all places. So, Annie Laurie, what happened in Las Vegas?
Well, we had a billboard blitz in October that was paid for by one member on 10 billboards. And then another member came by and said, I like that so much, I want to pay for November. But they had already leased the billboards, so they were free again in December. And I said, well, why don't we change the messages? Because I don't think it would be very newsworthy just to put the same ones up. And so we did our Yes, Virginia, There Is No God for the first time as a billboard. And I guess that's where the trouble began. And
the 6 billboards that say that, yes, Virginia, there is no God, they were up for a day or less, and then the outdoor company censored them. But they did leave up 4 others of our billboards that say either reasons greetings or heathens greetings. And you know what I think? I think if there's no God, there's no sin, so how can there be a sin city?
So maybe that's why they didn't like it. Well, here's some TV coverage from Las Vegas.
Well, Vegas is no stranger to controversial billboards, but normally they revolve around strip clubs, something like that. Now an ad campaign targeting religion is the one raising some eyebrows. Blake McCoy joins us more with what's going on with this. Kind of unusual.
Yeah, some people are pretty upset here, Tina, and the group behind these ads says they promote free thinking and separation of church and state. But armed with new billboards for the holidays, some are quitting the tactics of this No God campaign.
Atheism has launched an ad campaign.
If I'd had a ladder, I would have climbed up there and pulled it down myself.
Brenda Kempf called us after seeing a sign similar to this plastered on a billboard. Yes, Virginia, there is no God.
I'm a Christian. I believe in God. And I didn't like it, and I just didn't appreciate it.
It's a play on a famous newspaper editorial from the 1800s. A girl named Virginia wrote the New York Sun asking, "Is there a Santa Claus?" An editorialist responded, "Yes, there is a Santa Claus." But Brenda doesn't like the latest incarnation.
And it gave the impression that Santa Claus was telling the children that there was no God.
Clear Channel, which owns these billboards, removed that Santa version after just a few days, citing too many complaints. But Reason's greetings and Ethan's greetings have been allowed to stay.
What do you think his motivation here is?
He just doesn't believe in God. Maybe he's angry at God. I don't know.
Meet the man behind the signs.
People that drive by and have an open mind.
Richard Hermsen says the signs are meant to make people question, not take offense.
Be a thinker. Be a reasonable person. That means a lot to me.
He gave $3,000 to the National Freedom from Religion Foundation to launch a counter campaign to pro-God signs like this all over town.
There's an awful lot more signs that are religious intent than ours. And so, to me, it's tit for tat.
So whether it's season's greetings or heathen's greetings, Hermsen just asks you keep an open mind.
And some have questioned the timing of these ads at Christmas time. Hermsen says he actually planned the campaign for November, but got pushed back a month by Clear Channel. But whether it's November, December, any other month, he says he stands by these ads.
Well, if he wanted to spark discussion, I think he's done that.
Religion's one of those subjects where you can always count on it sparking discussion.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks so much, Blake. Mm-hmm.
And that man that you heard interviewed, again, we especially wish to thank, is Richard Hermsen, who paid for those billboards. Well, he's going to pay for four of the ones that stayed standing. We'll get a refund on the others. And he very graciously handled a lot of media questions about our December mini billboard blitz there. And I have to say, I was never more floored by this censorship. Anything goes in Las Vegas, but apparently saying that there is no God.
And saying it on the O'Reilly Factor. Annie Laura, you were invited to be on the O'Reilly Factor with the substitute host this week, Laura Ingram, to talk about these Las Vegas billboards on the winter solstice, December 21st. And we have a little bit of a clip from that show Annie Laurie was on.
The war on Christmas heads to Sin City. Atheists have taken their anti-God show to Las Vegas and other cities across America with signs featuring creative messages like this. Heathens, greetings. And, yes, Virginia, there is no God. Merry Christmas to you, too. Joining us now from Madison, Wisconsin, of course, is Annie Regaler, the co-president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which bought the ads. Right, but let's get back to your ads, because I find them fascinating. I was thinking about this when I was getting my makeup on. You know, it's a Christmas season. I was thinking, what if a Catholic group bought an ad, spent maybe $3,000 on an ad that displayed the following. I gave your winter solstice true meaning. Jesus. Would that offend you?
Our ad that we bought six, yes, Virginia, there are no God signs in Las Vegas, and they were censored. So obviously, there's no problem having religion in Las Vegas. There is a problem having atheism.
Now, these ads are meant to do what? Are they meant to poke and get people who, 80% of the country basically is Christian. So is it meant to kind of like rain on their Christmas parade, or is it meant to kind of have fun? Is it meant to provoke, or do you want to get sympathy?
Well,
because as far as I can tell, you just make a pain of yourselves.
It's meant to say something true. There isn't a God, and there are many Americans, 30 million Americans, who do not believe in a God, and we're here in December, too. And Heathen's Greetings is one of our other billboards, and Reason's Greetings, and I think it's fun. And I think
Reason's
it's also
Greetings?
Reason's Greetings, that Reason is always in season, and the real reason for the season is the winter solstice, and people in the Northern Hemisphere celebrated this time of year for me with evergreens and festivals and gift exchanges because they're recognizing the real new year, a natural holiday, the beginning of the new year.
Well, it's been a busy week for us. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaynor for Free Thought Radio. Coming up, we'll talk about another state church victory by the foundation this month, a non-seasonal issue involving a school district in Ohio that had a belief in God as a school district value and how the foundation got it removed. And then we'll talk with Cecil Bothwell, the new city council member in Asheville, North Carolina, who found out when running for office that he isn't allowed to because he's an atheist, barred from public office in that state. But he ceded anyway, and stay tuned, it's quite a story.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, here with Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And we have a big state church victory to announce. We complained in August about the Uniontown, Ohio School District making a public profession that belief in God is a good value. And in December, they finally removed that, and we have a news clip about it.
The Lake Local School District's amended value statement, without the phrase, "We value belief in God," the school district opting to spend its resources on educating children rather than a costly court battle.
Anytime you involve a legal aspect, it's going to be very expensive. We want to make sure we're keeping every penny we can focused on kids.
Belief in God was part of the value statement for more than a decade. The National Freedom From Religion Foundation sent this letter, strongly urging the school district to remove the language.
I really don't like it.
Don Cassidy's been cutting hair for four decades in Uniontown, a small, close-knit community centered around its schools and its faith.
Everybody should have the chance to have express their feelings.
The community understands the school district's dilemma, but they're not going to take this lying down. For one thing, students say they plan to wear T-shirts expressing their belief in God.
Our community has learned and is learning that they have quite a few rights as individuals pertaining to religious freedom and expression that a government organization or school district does not have.
They're learning a lesson about the First Amendment.
We'll be back to talk with Cecil Bothwell, the non-theist who got elected to city council in North Carolina, even though it's against the law. Stay tuned.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org.
If you don't believe in God, or if you have a problem with organized religion, there is a new radio show just for you. Free Thought Radio.
This is Free Thought Radio.
And we're back. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And our guest today we have on the phone from Asheville, North Carolina, is Cecil Bothwell, an investigative reporter, worked for a weekly, or put out a weekly for many years, the Mountain Express, has a printing press, BraveUlysses.com, that has published 9 books and one of his own, which is about Billy Graham, the only critical bio, the Prince of War. And we want to talk about that, but first we need to talk about what has happened to him as an atheist or a non-theist running for office in North Carolina. He just got elected to his city council and learned as candidate that he was illegitimate because he's an atheist.
And I saw him on Rachel Maddow being sworn in with a non-religious oath. There was a clip of that on TV.
So now we have Cecil on the phone with us. Cecil Bothwell, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, I'm happy to be here.
So tell us the story. You know, what made you run for city council? And what happened when you found out you weren't supposed to?
Well, the reason I ran for city council is that I believe very strongly in public service. I think that all of us, to make our communities better, need to do whatever we feel we can do, whatever we feel called to do. And although I'd been a reporter for about 16 or 17 years, in which I could not run for office, that's a conflict to be a newspaper reporter and to be a candidate. I often felt like, you know, I could do better, or I think I could do better. And so once I was no longer working for a newspaper, I decided maybe I'd give it a shot. And I had a pretty deep experience of the local issues here, having covered municipal government for many years and done a number of investigative stories around problems here. And I thought, well, yeah, I'll give it a run. So I did. and it worked really well. I came in first in the primary election, and it's an open, we have an open seat type election here. All the people who enter the race are in a primary, and it's nonpartisan. There were three seats open, and so six then advanced to the general election. So I came in first in the primary, but thanks to a smear campaign, at least in part to the smear campaign, during the election, I came in third in the general election, still good enough to claim one of the three seats. But the smear campaign was very specifically aimed at me because of my religious beliefs, or lack thereof.
And how did your religious or non-religious beliefs become known?
Well, principally because of my book, my biography of Billy Graham, The Prince of War, which in the acknowledgments, I acknowledged that I knew that I would be likely to be attacked for my viewpoint in the aftermath of that book coming out. In fact, I said I'll probably be accused of being Satan's helper and worse. And I wanted to acknowledge that, and that I don't believe in, I think I said, I don't believe in supernatural beings of any stripe, was my expression.
So you made a prophecy that came true. You were accused.
Yeah, I was. They used that in one of the smear letters. Huh.
Your opponents?
Not my opponents in the election, but people who supported my opponents and preferred that I not get elected. One of their letters even said I was a self-professed Satan's helper because of having said I will probably be called.
Oh, my gosh.
And because of that, the smear letters accused me of atheism. They accused me of hating Billy Graham, who lives 15 miles down the road here, and who's a local hero. In fact, our highway through town is called the Billy Graham Freeway. And that's not true. I don't hate the man or have much of any judgment about his religious beliefs. I mean, he can believe what he wants, as I would say for anyone. What I took on in the biography were his political machinations from Truman forward. Anyway, that's what triggered the attacks on me. What I didn't see coming, though, you slightly changed the story. Actually, I didn't know until I was elected, until a couple of days before I was inducted into office, that the North Carolina Constitution prohibits anyone from serving in office here who denies the Almighty God.
Wow.
What if you deny some other God?
Yeah, I mean,
very specific.
For one thing, the language is odd because, to be explicit, I've never, quote, denied the Almighty God.
Well, there you go.
God's irrelevant.
But when you first ran and you put your name in the hat, did you have to take a religious test for public office?
No, there is none. And, in fact, when I thought about it, even midway through the election campaign, hoping to win, of course, I knew I'd have to take an oath of office, but I had been on jury duty here before, and I knew that for jurors in North Carolina, you can affirm that you're telling the truth, the whole truth, and so forth. You don't need to swear on a Bible. So I didn't see it coming at all.
So it must have been rather shocking to you. How did you learn about this, the religious test?
Well, a local right-wing talk radio host mentioned it on his radio program on the Friday before the Tuesday that I was going into office. And then over the weekend, a website of the John Locke Foundation, which is a very conservative libertarian, think tank, Elburn, Raleigh, North Carolina, ran a short article on their website. And then on Monday, a fellow went to the city attorney here and said I wouldn't be permitted to be inducted, and went to the newspaper and the television station and raised a ruckus. And so it really came out the day before, Monday, the day before I was to be sworn in.
We're talking about 2 weeks ago, Monday.
Yeah.
And
right. It was December 8th. I became a city council member.
Now, I read in the newspapers that this guy used to run, am I wrong, the NAACP?
Yeah.
So that's kind of shocking.
Edgerton, H.K. Edgerton is an unusual character in a, well, we talk about keeping Asheville weird, which we took from, we stole from Austin, Texas, I believe, but he's one of the ones who keeps Asheville weird. He was chair of the local NAACP, and he was drummed out for some various reasons. I won't risk libeling him by trying to speculate, but he was drummed out. He then hooked up with the Sons of the Confederacy, which is just what you probably think it sounds like.
That is
virtually
weird.
Virtually a white supremacist group. He started parading around town in a Confederate uniform with a Dixie flag.
Now, can I ask, is he white or is he black?
African-American.
That is very weird.
He defends slavery. He said that slavery was a benign institution and a great deal of affection between slaves and their masters. And he sings Dixie often.
So generally, you wouldn't want him to be on your side anyway.
Right. In fact, I followed this story as it's blown up all over the web, and just this morning I saw it on somebody's website. They said that I was the person who ran around the Dixie uniform, Confederate uniform with the Dixie flag. And it's funny how stories get kind of twisted as they get reported, like playing a child's game of telephone.
So have you gone to a city council meeting yet?
I've had one meeting.
Yeah.
And it's pretty amazing to have been on headlines in newspapers around the globe with only one meeting under my belt. Huh. That doesn't usually happen.
Did it start with prayer by any chance?
It sure did.
Oh, no.
We have a policy in the city government here that each council member in turn gets to offer an invocation. Now, that's up for challenge right now because in Forsyth County, out east of here, there was a lawsuit against the county government for having prayer at the beginning of each meeting, almost uniformly Christian prayer. And the county is now paying a big fine, a big settlement over that.
Yeah, you're in the Fourth Circuit, which is, you're in the Fourth Circuit, Federal Circuit, which has had two decisions against Christian-dominated city council prayer meetings.
Right,
so
right.
Got to watch it. But now, where
well,
are you?
I think ours is going away.
Good. Now, where are you legally? And you've been seated despite the law. What has to happen if someone was to challenge you?
Well, he's still, H.K. Edgerton is still threatening, and his lawyer friend, who's head of the Sons of the Confederacy hereabouts, is also making noises about it. And what they would do, I guess, is file a lawsuit against the city for having seated me.
That would be a good thing, because we could finally get rid of this unconstitutional law.
I think it would be great. It's been overturned in 1961 in reference to some other states. But
that was Maryland. That was Roy Torcaso, who is dead now, but he was a friend. And he was another Republic who challenged the law in Maryland. And it's totally unconstitutional, but there's six other states besides yours that still has this kind of bigotry on its books.
Right, and there's no case law that's occurred in North Carolina to overturn it. It would be a fruitless case, ultimately, but that doesn't prevent someone from bringing a case.
Well, so, it's because the North Carolina Constitution conflicts with the federal Constitution.
Right.
So it makes it illegal for the state to even have that clause.
Now, we can't leave our listeners dangling here about your book. And I want to make we'll keep everyone posted about what happens in your interesting case. But tell us about the Prince of War, your critical biography of Billy Graham.
In 2002, in March, there was a brief news story in the local paper, an Associated Press story, about a Nixon tape that had been released in which Billy Graham was heard running down the Jews in this country, talking about the satanic Jews, and that they were the problem. They were a problem in publishing. They created pornography and a number of things. And the two paragraphs made it sound like it was a very brief conversation. Graham apologized to the Jewish religion, to the rabbis and so forth, and it blew on by. But I'd been reporting long enough that I knew that a two-paragraph story from the Associated Press probably had more behind it. So I got the transcript and found out the conversation had lasted an hour and a half and that Graham had led it most of the way.
This conversation in the Oval Office with then-President Nixon.
Right. Talking about the Jews in all kinds of disparaging ways, saying he couldn't let them know how he really felt, and telling Nixon that after the election, this was leading up to the 1972 election, Nixon's re-election, after the election, we can do something about it. And I thought, wow, that's not the Billy Graham that we hear about with the prayer breakfasts. You know, he's always maintained that he only offered spiritual advice to the presidents. So I started digging in, and I went back to the Truman era, and then forward, went to presidential libraries, did the research, found that the thing that surprised me, the thing that really struck me, was that from Truman forward, Graham had advocated for war.
So you called him
the title.
Hence the title. And you worked a little bit with Stanley Cutler of Madison, Wisconsin on this, right?
Right. When I was working on the Nixon era, I contacted Stanley because he'd done such good work on the Nixon era in his own writings, and he was very helpful to me, connecting with me with people in the Nixon archives, offering advice about where to look for more information.
Well, we unfortunately have to leave everybody hanging. They're going to have to get a copy of this book. From how do they find your book?
If you go to, you can Google it. You'll find different contacts.
The Prince of War.
I have it at BraveUlysses.com.
Oh, BraveUlysses.com. And, of course, we're eager to get a copy because we are suing over the National Day of Prayer, and that was Billy Graham's bad idea. And we really appreciate your coming and telling us your story. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
I dropped a copy in the mail to you today, as a matter
thank
of fact.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cecil Bothwell. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We'll be back after this break for a quick end-of-the-year tribute.
I'm State Senator Ernie Chambers from Nebraska. I'm on Free Thought Radio, which is like an oasis in the Sahara Desert.
Margaret Sanger's motto was, no gods, no masters.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio. Now, as always, our tradition will end the last show of the year with Bobby Burns' Auld Lang Syne. Robert Burns was a free-thinking deist, an anti-cleric, and such an enduring talent.
And who better to sing Auld Lang Syne than a Scotsman?
And I had the pleasure of hearing Jim Malcolm, a Scottish performer, do an evening of Robert Burns' songs, a house party in Madison, Wisconsin this year. He has an album of Robert Burns' songs, and he sings the original tune.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot for old lang syne? For old lang syne, my dear, for old lang syne, we'll tak a cup o' kindness yet for old lang syne. We both hae paddled in the burn frae morning sun till dine, seas between us played a road sin' old lang syne. And there's a hand, my trusty friend, and gie's a hand o' thine, and we'll tak her for old blind sight.
Happy New Year. This is our last show of the year. We want to thank Cecil Bothwell for joining us today, and Brian Tarani, our producer and our engineer. Free Thought Radio is recorded in Madison, Wisconsin. Our announcer is Buzz Kemper. Listen to the show podcast at ffrf.org/radio.
Start your new year on a free-thinking note, or better yet, end the old year by making a tax-deductible donation to the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Join us, help us, keep Free Thought Radio on the air, assist in our important legal work to keep state and church separate, and our important work to promote free thought. You can ask for more information at ffrf.org. You can phone 1-800-335-4221. And Dan's dying to tell you something.
If you want to read a positive article about free thought, go to the December 18th issue of the Isthmus magazine. It's called Happily God Free, a personal article about me and Annie Laurie running the Freedom From Religion
and
Foundation.
You can find out more at ffrf.org/news under media coverage. And we invite you, of course, to tune in next year for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting. And Happy New Year to you all.
My first reaction to Mr. Barker's statements was, bah humbug.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, ffrf.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.